I've been given a miraculous task this morning, which is to speak about the Holy Spirit, speak about the nine gifts of the Spirit in 15 minutes. Now, that is, I'd love to see Graham do that. That would be really, really an exciting situation, wouldn't it? So what I did was I put together 15 minutes and I based it around this, which is your statement, your vision statement, your Empowered Together. And I've made three videos, 30 minutes each, on the nine gifts of the Spirit, which you can use in your house groups, which will help you because I can go into more depth there. If I speak on this in our Bible schools or I'm doing this in training schools, I take an hour on each session. So I didn't want to shortchange you. So I've done this for you and I hope it will be helpful for you in your journey in moving with God. But it was fascinating watching that cartoon this morning because it all started with Jesus. And I don't want to start with the Holy Spirit. I want to start with Jesus. And the thing about Jesus is this, that he called men and women not to be pew warmers, not to be pulpit watchers, but to be disciples. And the thing that strikes me about this, it's fantastic. We're going to develop the SCF family spiritually and numerically, keeping Jesus at the center of all we do. Amen. That's fantastic. And I'm going over this because any builder goes over the foundations of how that group should be built. And it's very important that you do this. We'll help everyone to develop a culture of discipleship, faith and expectation, and help them to grow in their giftings and spiritual maturity. That describes everything Jesus did with his disciples. And then the next one, we'll create a culture of prayer and freedom in the Holy Spirit as a foundation for all we do. Again, that describes Jesus, as I'll show you in a minute, and what he did. And then Jesus did a little more than this. He thought beyond Stroud. He was thinking right across the whole world that the influence of God's kingdom would move in tangible ways across Stroud. And I'm very grateful your elders have added "and the nations" in brackets. Mind you, I had to put the nations with a capital N so you could go to as many as possible. With people moving forwards towards coming into relationship with Jesus and joining his family. Jesus calls disciples. He doesn't call people who watch or spectate. He calls people who work. Well, they work out of what they've listened to and what they've watched. And the two things are very important. As disciples, our job is to listen and to watch, and then to apply what we've heard and seen. And it's amazing that these disciples that were with Jesus day after day after day, they were following a person, not a method. Discipleship is not a method. It's a relationship. They were following a person and they were watching him. They watched him at breakfast. They watched him at lunchtime. They watched him at the evening meal. And they watched him as he worked with the crowds. They watched his miracles. They saw the supernatural effect of his life. They watched his prayer life to such an extent that they came up to him and said, you got something we haven't got. You know how to pray. Could you teach us how to pray? And he taught them that prayer wasn't just that great prayer that he prayed, Our Father, and about the kingdom coming on earth, and about forgiveness, and about the glory of the kingdom. He taught them how to listen in prayer. They were with him all the time, watching how he listened. I want to say something to you this morning. It's very important. It's not enough to talk in prayer. It's more important to listen in prayer and to listen for the instructions that the Holy Spirit brings to us. They saw that he carried the power of the Spirit and he constantly would say to them, hey, I'm going away from you. Now, Martin very nearly went away from us. Miraculously, God gave him back to you. Okay? Gaps appear sometimes when we least expect them. After 3 years of discipling them, Jesus disappeared. In fact, he disappeared out of their sight. They were all, wow, where's he going now? But he left them with a promise. And the promise was the promise of the Father. He continually spoke to them. If you read John, his gospel, about how he was preparing them to leave them, but to leave them with a helper, a comfort, a counselor, the Holy Spirit, who would teach them all things, bring all things to remembrance, and would also be alongside them to strengthen them and give them words to speak at times when they did not know what to say, tongues to speak in at times when they did not know what to pray, and gifts of the Spirit to work with that would make a significant difference and be life-changing experience in people's lives. He commissioned them to go and make disciples. I can imagine those disciples looking at one another and thinking, how are we going to do that? He's got it all. What have we got? This is often what happens in churches. You look at your leaders and you think, they've got it all. What have we got? Well, the Holy Spirit, this is the good news, is not just for leaders. If it was just for leaders, I'd give up years ago. It's for everybody. It's to all who put themselves in a position to be teachable, to be willingly obedient, and to self-deny. And when we're willing to do those things, and then I'll say something even more important, and this comes up in the three videos that I've sent to you, you really, if you learn how to love, you'll learn how to move in the Holy Spirit. Because people who love want to bring people into a place better than where they are right now. And when they love, it motivates you to encourage, to build up, to comfort, and to strengthen, all of which are attributes of those nine gifts of the Spirit. They motivate who we are and what we do. So Jesus goes and tells them to make disciples. And it's almost as if he says to them, now look, you've got to wait in Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Now these are my power tools. Can I have a hand for power tools? I mean, the amount of jobs, that's right. If you're a husband, if you're a father, you better have one of these. Otherwise, your wife is going to be depressed. You'll be paying lots of money to bring in different people to do the jobs. Power tools. Now, if I shake my power tools, there's something inside of here. What would be the point of an electrician showing up at my house and he carried the box, but when he opened it, there was nothing inside? Now, on the day of Pentecost, it's like they got the box. They got the box. The power of God came, and they were able, hopefully, to do the job. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But they had to open the box. And the opening of the box came in the book of Corinthians when the Apostle Paul got a revelation about the Holy Spirit. And I'll read it to you. And I'm going to read quickly. I'm going to read as quickly as I can. And you can read as slowly as you like this afternoon, this evening. Because these are the tools that go in the box so that you can do the job with the power that God put into you when you receive the Holy Spirit. And let me say this, if you've not received the Holy Spirit yet, why not? It's a free gift. There's no price on this. I'm not going to say if you get these three videos and send $50, you're going to get a miracle. I'm saying these videos are free because the Holy Spirit is free to bring us into freedom. There's no price on it other than you become a disciple of Jesus. So here we are on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts. Somebody say varieties with me. Varieties.
Varieties.
It's not boring. The gifts of the Holy Spirit contain varieties. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Oh, I wish we were all together. I'd get you all to say that out loud. To each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. When we operate the tools, it's for the common good. It's not to make you look good. It's for the common good. It's so that people who can't see, see. It's so that people who can't walk, walk. So that people who don't understand really get the message. It's so that people who are locked up get set free. It's for the common good. Therefore, we have to know how to use these tools because we don't just say hi to one another each day. We're concerned to see one another coming to the best that Jesus Christ has for us and to become the best that Jesus Christ has said we to become. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. This is for everyone. What thrills me is when I watch people moving in the gifts of the Spirit and other people get set free. What thrills me is when people come up and bring you word. Do you know, I started off on this ministry that's taken me all around the world. And there was a prophetic word that was given to me by two women at the end of a meeting in Whitney in the early 1970s. They stood there at the end of the meeting. One was a girl who had broken down emotionally. She'd not been able to sit her examinations at Cambridge University. She had really struggled. And she had such a bad time, but God was redeeming her and restoring her and making her whole again. The other was a lady who had three small children. She was a housewife, and she was a very quiet Welsh lady. And they stood there and they said, "We think we have a word from the Lord for you. Would you receive it?" Would I receive it? I'd receive anything from the Lord. And so I said, "Go ahead, tell me what you've got." And they prophesied to me from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. "It's too light a thing for you to raise up the tribes of Israel. I'll give you as a light to the nations." And said, "God is going to send you to the nations. You must be prepared for what he has ahead for you." That word has taken me all over the world. Now, I'm going to stand up and do something, if I can find it. This is my Bible. Many years ago when I was speaking at Spring Harvest, I happened to say this, and a woman went away and she made me a Bible cover with it on the front and on the back, Isaiah 49:6. So every time I opened my Bible, there was this word. Let me tell you, that word was confirmed by four other people, all of whom were international leaders or major Ephesians 4 ministries over the years. But it was a single girl who had broken down and a married woman with three children who launched me forward into the ministry that God had for me. Isn't that amazing? And today, that single girl is now married and is still in the congregation in Whitney. And I see her whenever we meet together. The voice that launched 1,000 ships. Isn't that amazing? God is a remarkable God. You may be hiding in you someone's healing because you have the gift of faith or a gift of healing. You may be hiding within yourself a gift of miracles, and God will speak to you in a situation. It may happen only once in your life, but you will speak that word and that thing will change. God may be hiding in you a prophetic word which can turn someone's mourning into dancing. God may be hiding in you a word of knowledge that totally opens up a situation that's been closed, or a word of wisdom that you give to someone moving into a difficult situation that sets them free in a way that they cannot describe from the burden that they've been under. God will use you if you're a disciple, if you're filled with his Spirit, and if you're prepared to take the tool out of the toolbox. I pray that the series that I've sent through to you will be of help to you. I pray it will encourage you. I pray it will provoke you. And I pray you will be a people that actually see accomplished everything that you have on here. God bless you. It's been good to be with you this morning.